Welcome to Word Life Church. My name is Pastor Freddie Minifield. You know, I'm so excited that you joined us today. I don't believe it's a coincidence. One thing I know for sure is that the Word of God will make all the difference in your life. And the word you hear today is going to encourage you, it's going to challenge you, and it's going to impact your forever. So whatever you do, get all the distractions away, and you tune in and expect to hear from heaven. And after the message, don't go anywhere. I'd love the opportunity to pray with you on any needs that you may have in your house or your household. You know, there is no time, space, or distance in the spirit realm. You can be healed, delivered, saved right where you are. So stay tuned after the message. We'll see you then. Let's go to Mark chapter 5 and verse 25. Mark chapter 5 and verse 25. You know, as the we were worshiping God, what I saw in the spirit was people pressing through the crowd to get to him. You know, the woman with the issue of blood, it says, Mark 5:25, it says, a certain woman having an issue of blood 12 years and many things, having suffered under many physicians and having spent all that she had and having profited nothing, but rather having come to the worst. This woman did everything she knew how to do. She spent everything she had and it didn't work. She was still stuck. She was still hurting. She had the same issue, and she chose to do something about it. And that something happened after she heard. Verse 27 says, having heard about Jesus, having come in the multitude behind, she touched his garment. I'm reading the Young's literal translation. For she said, if even his garments I may touch, I shall be saved. And immediately was the fountain of her blood dried up, and she knew in the body that she had been healed of the plague. She initiated that healing. You know, by law, she wasn't supposed to. She wasn't supposed to be out in public. It was illegal for her to be around the crowd, to be in public with people. And she chose because she heard something. She did something with what she heard. And as I was sitting there worshiping God, I heard the Lord say, tell my people to do something about what they hear. You choose. I need to choose to do something about what I hear, because everybody who was in the multitude had the opportunity to get whatever they needed. But the difference was she pressed in. She went beyond. She had an obstacle that was legal to stop her from receiving, and she chose to press in and receive. And I believe with everything that's in me that God is calling you and I closer to him, to grab hold of what he has and allow the anointing to flow. Don't settle for another natural day in your life. You know, when it comes down to it, we're either superficial or supernatural. We have to make the decision to feel, to sense, to be a part of God's plan or watch. We have to make that choice to press in, to go into where God is calling us to go into. And family, when we do that, we'll never be the same. We're continuing our series entitled Taking Ground. We started the subtitle Sustaining Momentum. We're going to finish that up today. But before we do that, agree with me in prayer. Father, thank you for your holy written word. Father, we honor you. We seek your face. Thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who you sent to save us, to save the world. Thank you for the Holy Spirit, our teacher, our leader, our guide. We look to you now, Holy Spirit, to lead us today, to guide us as we get into the Word, to pull out the truths that apply to our lives. We lift our voices in praise and worship, and we thank you for your loving kindness. Thank you for your tender mercies. We praise you now and forevermore. Lord, strengthen us today. Strengthen us with might by your Spirit. Comfort each and every one of us. Fill us with peace. Let it overtake us today. Let it overflow to all those who are around us. Thank you for your power working in us now. Lord, we know we can't do it without you. And we're so grateful that we will never have to. Thank you for never leaving us, for never forsaking us. We're so grateful. We choose you in this moment. We turn our attention toward you. We offer up our innermost being. We choose to go and remain on the altar. What is it that you would have us to do? We give ourselves to you now. You are a good God. We take dominion over every distraction. Every demonic force is under our feet. And we boldly declare the word of God will go forth unhindered and unchecked. In the name of Jesus, you agree with that? Say amen and amen. Taking ground, you know, one of the things I like to establish and reestablish is Word Life Church exists to make fully functional disciples. When you and I are fully functioning in our calling, when we're fully functioning disciples of Jesus Christ, we begin to reach those around us. You know, one of the questions I like to ask is, when was the last time you led somebody to the Lord? You know, that is something, and every time I get the opportunity to lead somebody to the Lord, there's another excitement that comes over me. There's another fresh anointing that takes place. I'm challenging you to never let off looking for somebody to lead to the Lord. There's two scriptures that Word Life is founded on. The first one is Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19. And it says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." The second text is John 8, 31 and 32. And it says, "Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, 'If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.'" One thing I've come to know and understand is the truth that you and I know and apply that makes us free. You know, it's always interesting to hear people say, "Oh yeah, I know that, I know that." And you know, the only evidence of us really knowing is having. Truth be told, the only evidence of us really knowing is having. So whenever someone says, "Yeah, I know that, I know that," I'm suspect. Because knowing means having. And free people go about freeing other people. And there's one thing that the body of Christ needs so desperately is free people. People who are disciples of freedom going somewhere to loose people. Amen? You know, that freedom becomes our testimony. And that testimony is what people see. That's what begins to light up in our lives and people are drawn to. And it's so important that people see him in us. There needs every good witness has proof. Amen? Can you imagine a witness of a case not having any proof? That's a horrible witness. True or not true? A good witness has some sort of evidence. There's some sort of proof that witness brings to the table. Let's go to our foundation text, Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 through 14. Where you guys going? Look at your neighbor. Make sure they're not in Psalms. Help them out. Help them out. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Let me get out of the Youngs. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 through 14 in the New King James. It says, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on." Say that with me. "I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead." Verse 14 says, "I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Our mandate needs to be forward, onward and upward. It doesn't matter. This is my prayer for all of us. It doesn't matter where we are in our walk with the Lord. I'm believing that the end result of us grabbing hold of the truth of God's word during this series is to go further. If you don't know him, that you would know him. If you know him some, that you would know him more. It doesn't matter where we are, all of us can go forward. Is that true? We can all advance in him. And that's what I'm believing God for. Sustaining momentum. We're continuing this series. The word sustain means to strengthen or support. It means to cause to continue or be prolonged for an extended period of time without interruption. Sustain means to uphold, affirm, or confirm. Let's go to John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. You know, it is so important that you and I pursue the things of God like never before. I was reading this morning, and I came across this passage, and I included it in the message because it is so vital for us. John 4:23, it says, "But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father," what's it say? "In spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him." Family, we have to understand the Father is yearning for those whose hearts are turned toward him. And we have to get out of ourselves and into him. Worship should produce something in our lives. There should be something that's added to us when we worship. And here's the thing. It has to be honestly. If we're not honest when we worship, we get stuck in the flesh. We need to get to the place where we are worshiping him. Verse 24 says, "God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." And this was my declaration to myself this morning. When I worship, I must make it out of the flesh. When I worship, it needs to be in spirit and in truth. And that has to be intentional. Because guess what? We don't feel like it sometimes. Or is it just me? Sometimes it requires you and I stepping over our minds or our bodies in order to worship him in spirit and in truth. Because one thing I've seen God prove out in my own life, and I know it to be true in all of our lives, is God is not going to meet me where I pretend to be. He's only going to meet me where I really am. And that's where the honesty comes into play. That's where I have to worship him in spirit and in truth so that something is produced in me. Why is it that worship was used as a weapon before God's children went into battle? Do you think he changed that? Do you think that that's been taken away? I submit to you, it has not. You and I need to worship him in spirit and truth and allow him to go before us, because not worshiping him in spirit and truth is allowing our minds to beat us up, to cause doubt and hesitation and lack, to have a voice in our minds. You know, the only battle we really have is right here. Truly, because what Jesus did on our behalf was 100% effective. What you need has already been given. What I need has already been given. But I can talk myself out of it. I could find myself not grabbing hold of the truths of God's word because of something I think. I'm not accepted. I'm not enough. God can't continue to love me because I did something, said something. Easily. And all the devil wants to do is whisper something to us and let us run rampant with it. So whoever we agree with is who is going to have the benefit of our vessel. So I'm encouraging all of us to agree with the word of God, agree with the spirit of God, allow God to minister to you today, spirit to spirit. Amen? In review, last week we saw that 1 Kings chapter 20, that King Ben-Hadad and his boys tried to punk King Ahab. There was a time where King Ben-Hadad was trying to intimidate him. He was trying to cause fear to come and distract King Ahab until there was a prophet that spoke up. And the word of the Lord came and it flipped the script on the whole scenario. Everything was changed when the word of the Lord came. And what King Ben-Hadad was trying to do, what he was trying to intimidate King Ahab with, the Lord spoke to King Ahab and said, everything you see is going to be yours. So we use that example to say, whenever you are in a crisis, stop and say, wait a minute. What is the word of the Lord concerning this? Because in the natural, King Ahab was stuck. He was finished. He was already besieged. He was already captured, basically. All they had to do is go and finish the act. There was nothing he could do in the natural. And God is saying to us, it doesn't matter what it looks like in the natural. The word of the Lord is our final authority. What is the Lord saying about the situation? And we have to know and understand that. He wants us to remember to look to him. We saw in Isaiah 26:3 that perfect peace has nothing to do with our position. It has everything to do with our focus. In order for you and I to sustain momentum, we have to choose to focus on him. We learn that God's promises are greater than the attacks of the enemy. You know, you can't do that by yourself. You know, and that's why it's so important that we surround ourselves with good people. Because when you're down, it's not reality. And just because, and I said last week, our perception is our looking glass. When you're hanging out with somebody who knows the Lord and they have a good understanding of their true identity, they can look to you and say, hey, snap out of it. That's not true. What'd you just say? That's a lie. And they can remind you. That's why it is critical, family, to surround yourself with Bible-believing, free people. So very important. If that prophet hadn't have spoke up, King Ahab would have lost the kingdom. In order to sustain our momentum, it requires you and I tapping into kingdom living. Let's go to Psalms chapter 78 and verse 41. Jesus Christ paid the ultimate price for you and I to live a life that is backed by the kingdom of God. It's our continuing that makes us disciples of freedom. When you and I choose to continue, that's what makes freedom reign in our own personal lives. Don't limit God. How do we limit God? Psalm 78, 41 and 42 says, "Yes, again and again they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. They did not remember his power the day when he redeemed them from the enemy." Now, look at it in the Passion Translation. Same text. It says, again and again, they limited God, preventing him from blessing them. Continually, they turned back. How do we limit God? By turning back. By not pressing forward. By not pressing on. Family, the greatest thing we can do right now is settle it forever. No matter what's going on in my life, I am not turning back. Press forward. The world around you needs the God that's on the inside of you. You realize we're carriers of peace. We're carriers of favor, anointing. We're carriers of the promises of God. And it doesn't matter what is going on in the world, it is subject to the God on the inside of you. Healing shows up every time you step through the door. Salvation, deliverance shows up every time you step through the door. It is so important that we step forward. Look at somebody and say, never turn back. When condemnation tries to steal your destiny, we have a counterattack that's listed in Romans chapter 8, verse 1 and 2. Let's go there. This is the perfect counterattack when the enemy tries to steal our destiny. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 and 2. It's going to be on the screen. We'll read that together. Romans chapter 8, 1 and 2. We'll read it out of the New King James Version. Can you get that on the screen? It says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." Now we want to take notice that we see there's two different laws at work here. One law attaches us to sin and death, and the other law attaches us to life in Christ. God's way is walking according to the Spirit. God's way is the only way that assures us victory every single time. Now, do we have a choice? Every single time. We have a choice, and we have the opportunity to choose the way that assures us victory every single time. In order for you and I to sustain momentum, we must see our inner image. We must see ourselves the way God sees us. That's who we really are. I used the example last week that we are spirit beings. We live in a physical body, and we possess a soul. Our soul is comprised of our mind, our will, our emotions, our imagination, and our intellect. And every decision we make, we have to overlook those five different areas in order to tap in to the Spirit of God, because God is not speaking to your head. God is not speaking to your body. God is going to speak to you and I, spirit to spirit. So it makes sense for us to tune in to what He is saying. And sometimes it doesn't agree with what we're feeling. Sometimes it doesn't agree with our emotions, our intellect. Sometimes we have to supersede our intellect in order to hear what God is saying. We looked at Hebrews 4 and 12, and the only thing that's going to separate soul and spirit is the Word of God. The truth of God's word is the only thing. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. We must see our inner image. It's who we really are. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18 says, "But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." Look at the New Living Translation. It says, "So all of us who have had the veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord, and the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image." You and I need to be changed into His glorious image. You know, when you hang out with somebody, you start talking like them. True or not true? You ever notice that? You hang out with somebody, you just pick up the same type of dialect. Let us be accused of sounding like Jesus Christ. Let us be accused of thinking like Jesus Christ. Like, man, you always acting like Jesus. You always trying to raise somebody from the dead. You always trying to heal somebody. All you do is talk the word. That's right. Because I'm His child. I'm a child of the King. That's what's in me. My DNA is that of deity. Look at somebody and say, your DNA is that of deity. Your DNA is that of deity. As we see the glory of the Lord that's within ourselves, in one another, because of our union with Christ, our outer selves will begin to reflect that glory for all to see. Listen to this statement. It's right for our righteousness to show up in right living. If all the good stuff stays on the inside, it'll benefit anybody. You know, it's not a compliment to say, well, they're good, you know, they really are good people. You know, on the inside. Once you get past that's not okay. What's in us has to come out of us. Don't settle for being good on the inside. We want people to benefit. Your neighbor needs to see the love of God in you. Your relatives need to see the love of God in you. There's somebody in your life right now that needs to experience the goodness of God because their heart has been hardened, and they need to see somebody loving them to such a degree that they'll be drawn to the Lord. You know, hard hearts were always an act of the will. And when the love of God is shown, when it's illuminated, it's the only thing that'll penetrate a hard heart. Be a vessel. You know, I was praying and just hanging out with Dad, and I don't remember all the conversation, but the part that struck me right in my heart was, I didn't call you to be an orator. I called you to be an oracle. And that just ministered to me. Speaking without Him is nothing. Family, our only true value is Him in us. Only the anointing matters. Only what you and I have to say that comes from Him matters. And it is so important that we get to that place, that we allow the anointing of God to supersede our feelings, our intellect, our imaginations. Allow the anointing of God. Give way for the anointing. Make way for the anointing, because that's the only thing that's going to help a neighbor, a loved one. That's it. Nothing else is worth anything. God's glory is not far off in heaven. We are supposed to experience the transformation that comes from beholding His glory. You know what? Where is God's glory? That's a real question. Where is God's glory? In us. Everybody say, God's glory is in me. That is so key to know, because it's easy for us to start looking up and participating with glory beyond, but God's glory is on the inside of us. And when we behold him, it becomes like a mirror that reflects his glory, and it comes out of us. We need his glory that's in you to come out and participate to the world around you. Paul gave believers an amazing prayer to pray in Ephesians. Let's go there. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 and 18. Paul gave believers that prayer that would open up spiritual eyes. And because Paul was led by the Holy Spirit, that prayer is applicable to you and I today. Paul was talking to and praying for believers of the church of Ephesus. And because the Holy Spirit gave him utterance to pray that prayer, it applies to us. We're the body of Christ. We need to receive from the Father the glory. We need wisdom, revelation, knowledge, and understanding. We need to know the hope of God's calling. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 17 says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, let's read that together. Ready? Read. That the God of our glories, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Now verse 18. Listen to that. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, being open, being illuminated, that you may know what is the hope of whose calling? His calling. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance? Know and understand that he desires to pull out his inheritance out of you and I. He desires to have our eyes open so we can see what it is he's calling us to do. God's word will sustain your momentum. In fact, the only thing that's going to sustain our momentum is God's word. Isaiah 55:11 says, "So shall my word be that goes from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." God's word will sustain our momentum because God's word is going to go forward. Psalms 23 says, even though, this is how it starts off, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You know, we could easily say, in addition to even though, we can add in the midst of, despite. He is with us when we feel it or not. When we feel like we're first or we feel like we're last. When we feel like we're stressed or we feel like we're blessed. It doesn't change who he is and him being with us. He is with us no matter what. And knowing that makes all the difference. You know why? Because that allows you to keep going forward. You know, if I'm going through the fire and I know he's going with me, it gives me momentum to keep going. If I was going through a hard time, if I was going to get stuck or thrown into a lion's den, if I didn't know he was with me, it's a different scenario. I'm still going to have my hands up. I'm still going to be looking for teeth, but knowing that he's with me is a different scenario. Family, he is with you. Whatever you're going through in your life right now, it is not greater than the God on the inside of you. Whatever is happening is not going to take you out. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. It doesn't say no weapons will ever be formed against you. It's saying that the weapons that are formed against you are not going to take you out. So that gives you momentum. You can keep going forward because this is coming against me, but it's not going to take me out. I'm still going to press forward. I'm still going to move. I'm still going to do what God has called me to do. You know, I had two people die this week that I know personally, and it was so different. There was the one person that died wasn't surrounded by a bunch of believers, and it was just a different feel. It was just more sorrowful. It was different. And then the other person that died was surrounded by believers. In fact, we were laughing and hanging out the night before, and got the report the next morning that she had crossed over and went on to be with the Lord. And everybody was rejoicing. I mean, we were shocked, but it was just different. No one was like, oh, man, that's it. Man, the devil got one of us. Everyone was like, man, she made it. She ran her race in stride. And it was so powerful to hear some of the reports. Some of the ladies who were there and was trying to pray over her, was praying over her, they said they were praying to bring her back from the dead. And her husband said, you know, she said, this was her third time dying. And she said, third time's, this is the day before. She said, third time's a charm. She said, if I die again, don't try to raise me from the dead. Don't try to bring me back. And there was a group of people praying over her, and her husband said, you know, she's not coming back. And when he said that, three different ladies, they all happened to be named Nancy, saw at the same time her dancing. And the first Nancy that reported that didn't know her very well, but the other ones knew she loved to dance. And it gave so much peace to the entire group. That had the potential to be devastating. But it was so much peace that was created. And the event, the meeting, kept going forward. Because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And that's rejoicing. That's worth rejoicing. It's a different feel. You celebrate more. And in fact, one of the calls to the group was, you know, run harder. Focus in. Take ground. And it's so applicable to all of us to do just that. How do we sustain our momentum? Let's wrap it up for an application. Number one says what? In application. We'll wait for you. We good. We'll wait for you. We'll wait for you. What's it say? When you hear God's word, grab hold of that and go forward. Don't wait, don't hesitate, don't negotiate. Don't start reasoning with the Lord. Grab his word and go forward. Amen? Choose to go God's way. What's number two say? At all costs. You just continue. You make up in your mind, I'm going forward in the name of Jesus no matter what. We do that by hearing the word, doing the word, and sharing God's word. You know, that's what causes us to sustain momentum. You know, there's a word on the inside of you. There is God has placed. What's your name? Derek. There's a word that God has placed on the inside of you that will absolutely set people free. Don't hesitate. Release what God has put on the inside of you. Begin to step out. Don't wait. The timing is now. You know, you don't have to wait for everything to be right, everything to be in order. Step out and begin to share what God has already put on the inside of you. You're going to keep them accountable? That bear witness to you? It is so important Because if not us, who? Are we waiting for somebody? Are we waiting for the next group to come through? You know, I was talking to a group of leaders, and one thing that the Lord confirmed is everything we need is in the house right now. Right now. And your supply makes a difference to what goes on in the house. Don't ever let the enemy lie to you and say you don't matter. How can I contribute? Don't ever fall for that, for that lie. Begin to step out and do what God has called you to do. What's number three say? Get your faith focused. Keep your hope in Yeshua. Isaiah 26:3 says, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts you." In you. He trusts in you. What's number four say? Desire the kingdom of God. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." The only proof, please hear this, the only proof of desire is pursuit. If we desire something, there will be a pursuit. Desire the kingdom of God. Go after the things of God. Create your schedule around the things of God, not the opposite. Don't give God your leftovers. Amen. Four of us, five of us. Anybody believe that? Anybody believe there's value in creating our schedule around the things of God? Amen. Pursue kingdom ways and right living. It's right for our righteousness to show up in right living. Number, where we at? Number five says what? Press towards purpose. Philippians 3:13. Surround yourself with people who will push you forward. If you're the strongest, the greatest, the smartest person in the room, it just means you're in the wrong room. You need to be pushed forward. You need people pulling you up and pushing you forward. Everything in every aspect of your life. Number six says what? Focus your life forward. And that's the other half of Philippians 3. Philippians 3:13-14 talks about pressing forward, moving forward. Don't give, I said this last week, and it bears repeating. Don't give the pains of your past victory over the fruit of your future. That is so important because raise your hand if you've ever been hurt. It is so easy to give the pains of our past the victory over the fruit of our future. Press forward, go forward. I made the statement last week, we're not called to leave something. We're called to go to something. When we have the mindset of leaving something, we're always tied to it. We're always looking back. We're always checking. And I made the statement, that's probably what God was trying to establish when he told them not to look back. But there's always that one nosy person. Lot's wife probably left her best high heels and turned and looked back. And sure enough, she became salt. We're called forward. We're called to go to something, not leave something. And last but not least, number seven says what? Pray in the Spirit, family, more than ever before. You know, every time we spend time praying in the Spirit, and the reason why praying in the Spirit is under attack is because the enemy knows he has no answer for it. So it doesn't matter what abuse, what people have misused, you decide to trust the word of God. And we're going to look at Romans 8:26-28. And with all that is in me, our greatest need, not only as a body of Christ, but the local body, is to pray in the Holy Spirit. Because there are things that we don't know. There are things that we can avoid by praying in the Holy Spirit, by giving the Holy Spirit us to pray through. When we yield and allow His Spirit to pray through us, He goes and works on our behalf better than we ever could. I'm reminded of my brother. I woke up 3 o'clock in the morning, and I just saw my brother's face. I just saw an image, and I just started praying in the Holy Spirit. I just began to pray, and I prayed until I got a release. And as soon as I got a release, I just felt peace. I got a phone call, and it was my brother. He was out of breath, and he had just escaped death. He had a gun held to his head, and he was about to have his life taken from him. And I was praying in the Spirit. Somebody busted through the door, distracted the guy who had the gun to his head. My brother got out, jumped out of a window, and ran to a bus station, called me from the bus station, and got back home. Praying in the Spirit has saved my life more than once. And I know there's testimonies out there for you as well. We can never underestimate the power of praying in the Holy Spirit. Let's go to Romans chapter 8, verse 26. It is so important that we allow this to be a part of our... I'm reminded of a pastor who lost his church. And I was just confused, because on the outside, it was thriving. I mean, it was like, wow, they were just, the presence, their social media presence, their marketing, the colors, it was just a thriving church. And it fizzled out. And we were talking, and I said, I just gotta know what happened. And he said, well, you know, between me and you, I just let the things of God get away from me. I just, you know, I stopped praying in the Spirit. I stopped spending time with the Lord, and I just came under attack, and I never recovered. And I thought, man, but in that reality, how many people try to cruise with their natural talents and gifts? Family, let's lock in and pray in the Spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to lead our lives. Amen? I'm going to read Romans 8, 26 and 28. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Family, do we need the Holy Spirit interceding for us? My God. Verse 27 says, now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercessions for the saints, that's us, according to the will of God. Verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who are who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. We need to be praying in the Holy Spirit. Father, thank you for your holy written word. Father, we thank you for the incorruptible seed that has been planted in our hearts. Now, Lord, I pray that every heart is pliable, good ground that will bring forth a harvest of freedom. Father, I pray for these, your loved ones, your children. I pray that every need is met. I pray that as we take your word and apply it, You do exactly what you say you do in your word. Thank you, Lord, for leading and guiding us by your Holy Spirit. Before we dismiss, if you feel like the Lord has spoke anything to you and you want us to agree with you in prayer, will you come forward now? It doesn't matter what it is. If you want us to agree with you in prayer, we'll gladly agree with you. We'll touch and agree. If you're ready to receive your forgiveness and make Jesus your Lord, I will never take it for granted or assume that everybody knows the Lord. If you have yet to make Jesus the Lord of your life, this is an opportunity. We want to extend an invitation to you. If you have a desire to be filled with the Holy Spirit, we invite you to come and be filled. We believe in the infilling of the Holy Spirit. We believe everyone needs to first and foremost make Jesus the Lord of their life, and we believe secondly to make an opportunity, open yourself up to be filled with the Holy Spirit, with evidence of speaking in other tongues. If that's you, will you come? If you need healing in your body, come at this time. We believe in the power of prayer. We believe in the gifts of Spirit. We believe the anointing is such that would take care of every need in the house. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Wasn't that a powerful message? Isn't God good? You know, one thing I know for sure, the Word of God never returns void. It's always going to do what it's supposed to do. So here's your challenge. Apply the Word of God that you heard today. If this message has been a blessing to you in any way, I'm encouraging you to consider sowing a seed. You know, here at Word Life, we're seeing lives transform. We're seeing people saved, healed, delivered. And that happens through partnership. So we welcome your partnership if you feel led to come and be a part of what God is doing here. If you have any prayer requests, let us know. We would love the opportunity. I'm going to pray for everybody here in a second. But if you have anything specific, let us know. We would love the opportunity to partner with you in prayer. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for each and every viewer. Father, I add my faith to their faith right now. In the name of Jesus, I speak blessings over their lives, over their children, over their households. I boldly declare that they are above only and not beneath. They are the head and not the tail, and they walk in victory in Jesus' name. God bless you. We love you. We'll see you next time.